Amen. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I tell you, Christmas is amazing, isn't it? I hope you make some time during this season to just contemplate and meditate on the fact that God came down to where you were. God came down to this earth, wrapped himself in human flesh, and died on the cross for our sins. I just hope that you find some time somewhere in your busy schedule to meditate upon that truth. And I believe it'll do you some good. Amen. 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 Well, it will, whether you believe it or not. It'll do you some good to think about what God's done in your life. And I know things are busy. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid we got Christmas up here, but it hasn't made its way down here. And we're so familiar. Matthew 1, very familiar text. We just heard it preached Sunday. Luke 2, Luke 1, very familiar text. We hear these things over and over, how that Jesus came, was born in the manger, and the shepherds came, and later the wise men came. And we become so familiar with it, if we're not careful, that it loses its emphasis, it loses its power to take hold of our imagination, our heart takes it loses its power upon our life. And may God forbid that from happening to us this Christmas. I don't want to lose the wonder of it all. Without Christmas, I'd be lost in my sin tonight. I'd be on my way to hell, possibly even there tonight, if not for Christmas. And so I'm thankful that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. Verse number 18 down through verse number 25 will be the text this evening. Just like to make a few comments about what God says here in his word about Matthew chapter 1. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." We have the birth of a lot of generations, verse number 1 through verse 17, but he wants to zero in on this birth. It was on this wise. Here's how it happened, in other words. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to see the truth of your word, to believe the truth of your word, to love the truth of your word, and I pray the truth of your word would work effectually in our hearts and lives. I pray that we would be drawn to Jesus Christ, Lord, as we lift him up in song and in message. God, I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted. And I pray, Lord, that we would be drawn to worship him and all of his glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as Pastor mentioned to Pastor David and I that he wanted us to share on the Christmas story, I'll be honest with you, this is deep. I mean, it's familiar, but it's deep. How do you take a few minutes and expound the fact that God came down to man? That Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. I can't even explain it. I'm glad it's so. I'm reminded of some verses in the Bible. I'm reminded of my mind this afternoon went to Romans chapter 11, verse number 33, where Paul said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." It's over my head. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Did you get that? Jesus Christ is the only man that's ever became God and still yet retained manhood. He's the only person that's ever done that. And God is the only God that's ever became a man and never lost any of his godhood. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. The Bible says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. God was made flesh, the Word. The Word was God. Became flesh, dwelt among us, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm telling you, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. The writer of the Hebrews said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You say, why did Jesus come? Why is there Christmas? He took on a body so that he could hang on a cross and pay the penalty for our sins. Amen. And so the writer said, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. He took on a body for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Aren't you thankful that Jesus tasted death for you? He took upon a body. And the Bible says that we know that he was crowned when he ascended to the Father. God's given him a name which is above every name. And we know that when he ascended to the throne and God gave him that place at his right hand, that there was a crowning, and there will be a literal crowning in the millennial time. But the Bible says that when Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, that at that time, he was also crowned with glory and honor. Why? That he would suffer death. That he could taste death for you and I. Now that's above my head. I'm thankful for it. But it's beyond me. And I just hope and pray this Christmas season that we'll find some time just to ponder, meditate on the fact that there's a God in heaven who loved us enough. He's seen us in our low estate. And he chose to come down to where we were, take on a body. Listen, he was God. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That God, the God that we sing about, the God that we read about, the God of Christmas, well, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether things in earth or things in heaven or things in earth or things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm thankful for Christmas. Well, you're in Matthew 1. Let me give you just a few thoughts here in Matthew chapter 1, and we'll just kind of follow a progression and bring this to a conclusion tonight. Now, it's clear that the emphasis in Matthew chapter 1 is on the virgin conception of Mary. She conceived as a virgin. We know that she gave birth as a virgin, but not only did she give birth as a virgin, she conceived as a virgin. That's what's amazing. And so over and over again, we're reminded, look if you will, at verse number 18, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so this was none of Joseph's doing. It was all of the Holy Ghost. And so over and over, that's the theme. Look at the end of verse number 20. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the emphasis is on the fact that a virgin would conceive. Now, why is that important? Well, because if God would have came down and been born of man, he would have had a sinful nature. And therefore, he would have disqualified himself to save our souls. And so we find that in this lineage in verse number 1 through verse number 17, when we get to verse number 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom? Of Mary, the seed of the woman, was born Jesus. Joseph didn't begat Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin. And because of that, he does not have the sinful flesh that you and I have. In Adam, all die. And Jesus is not in Adam. He's the last Adam. Amen. He's 100% God, 100% man. And even though he took upon himself the form of a servant and wrapped himself in a body of flesh, and he was tempted in all points like as we are, the Bible says it was yet without sin. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he is separate from sinners. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that virgin conception, because of his perfection, because of his holiness, well, the prophet said in verse number 23, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And notice, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Because he was born of a virgin, he could be man, but yet he could still be God. 100% man, 100% God. And so therefore, because of the Bible says that they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, the angel told Joseph, he said, Mary's going to bring forth a son. And that angel told Joseph, he said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was obedient, verse number 25, knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. Joseph was obedient. They called his name Jesus, and he's still called Jesus today. You can turn in the back of your Bible in the book of Revelation, and he's referring to himself as Jesus. But the Bible says here, when he references the prophecy of Isaiah, they shall call his name Emmanuel. In general, that's us. He was speaking up. We can call him Emmanuel. We can look at Jesus and we can say, yeah, that's Emmanuel. I know who that is. That's my Savior. That's Jesus. That's God. Can I tell you that the world doesn't always like that message, that Jesus is God, but he is. And because he was born of a virgin, he's therefore Emmanuel. And because he's Emmanuel, he can be Jesus. And the Bible says, verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jehovah and Joshua just simply means Jehovah saves. For he shall save his people from their sins. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you glad that Jesus saves? Now, I want to tell you tonight, I believe you know this, most of you. Our greatest need, it's not a political need. It's not a physical need. It's not a financial need. I'm sure that we have those around this time of year. We buy gifts and sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. Amen. But listen, money's not our greatest need. Health is not our greatest need. Our greatest need is a spiritual need. And the Bible says here that Jesus would save his people from their sins. They were looking for political answers. They were looking for a king, and God sent them a Savior. I don't know what you're looking for this Christmas season. Maybe you're trying to get out of debt. Maybe you're trying to, you know, turn over a new leaf. Maybe you're trying to get in better shape and work on the physical side. But listen, the greatest need of our soul is spiritual. And God sent Jesus to meet that need, to save his people from their sins. Now, there's two groups I believe that applies to. Number one, the religious crowd. Notice it says here, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people. Jesus was born a Jew. Most of the Jews, they were religious people. They needed to be saved. And I don't, listen, can I just remind you, religion doesn't take anybody to heaven. You can come to a candlelight service. You can be a faithful church member. You can do good works. I mean, listen, all the good works we could do, never going to earn anybody a spot in heaven. And so Jesus came to save religious lost people. And so you say, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. I try to do the right thing. You're a sinner and you need to be saved. Has there ever been a time in your life when God convinced you that you were lost and your only hope was Jesus? If not, you need to be saved tonight. Not only did he come for the religious group, he came for the ruined group. Aren't you glad for that?
Listen, I don't know every one of you. I know most of you. I don't know a lot of your past. I don't know a lot of your present. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ came to get sinners out of the gutter? Those that think, well, there's no hope for me. You just don't understand about my past. I don't have to know about your past. You don't understand my present. You don't know what I did today. You don't know what I did last night. It doesn't matter that I know what you did. God knows what you did. And he said, I'm not come to call the righteous. I'm come to call sinners to repentance. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God came down to not only save the religious bunch, he came down to save the ruined bunch. Amen. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because of Christmas, there's hope. I'm thankful for that. I tell you, the mystery of godliness is great. God was manifest in the flesh. I hope and I pray this Christmas season, you'll just take some time to meditate upon that wonderful truth. Amen. Amen.